Hello, everybody. Welcome to Left Hand, Right Brain. I hope this podcast finds you well. And I know I say it every intro, but I say it because I really mean it. For all your likes, your subscribes, your rates, and reviews, you know, appreciate. And you know, if you like what you're hearing on this Left Hand, Right Brain podcast, you can check out all the podcasts under the LHRB banner, such as Let's Get Drunk and Talk About Your Wedding with host Jen and Mal. And it's exactly what it sounds like. The hosts throw back a couple drinks with some guests and talk about love, marriage, and everything in between. You can check out Los Chupacabros. You can check out Help Me, I'm Scared, another podcast about horror films with Katie Bowman. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's a horror film review podcast. And if you're a scaredy cat like I am, here's your trigger warning and your spoiler warning. We are spoiling a lot of movies on that, so maybe watch the movie before you listen to it, or listen to it before you watch the movie so you know what's up and you don't get too scared. However you like to do it. All those podcasts, as well as the backlogs of all the left-hand right brains, the JDJOs, the Appetites podcasts, can be found at lefthandrightbrainpod.com, as well as wherever you get podcasts. Okay, and that brings us to this week's podcast, which is with returning guest Joslyn Sharp. You know her. You love her. She is a Nevada-based comedian. Comes to Colorado all the time. She's now recording her first album / comedy special at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins this Thursday. If you want to check it out, you still have time to get tickets. You can find those at laughafterdark.com, or I'm sure you can find a link to it if you go to the Comedy Fort's website. You should check her out on TikTok, all the various social media Zs. Her Instagram is at Joslyn Sharp, or you can go to wizardofjoz.com, and that's where you can find links to all her shows, where she's going to be at, her calendar, things like that. She was on a couple months ago. She was such a hoot. When I heard she was going to be in town to do this recording, I got a hold of her as soon as I could to see if she wanted to record, talk about it. We did, and we go all over the place as we do in this podcast. It's a free-flowing conversation. We get into some interesting stuff about her finding out about her, who her biological dad is. I guess I didn't know this, but she didn't know who her biological dad was. And he recently slipped into her DMs on Instagram and was like, "Hey, I'm your dad." She gets into it in the podcast. It's an ongoing exploration. They're currently getting the scientific proof that he is her biological father. I guess she's chronicling it on her TikTok, so follow that if you want to get an update. Okay, I think I've teased you enough on this intro. Thank you so much, Joslyn, for coming on. I had a great time. Be sure to check her out on all her socials, like I said. Don't forget, Left Hand Right Brain is part of Mile High Life and produced by me, aka Left Hand Right Brain Productions. So you're recording an album.
I am. I'm recording my first comedy special / official comedy album this Thursday. In 2 days. 3 days. 2 days.
Comedy album / what?
It'll be on Amazon Video too.
Oh, so. Okay. So you're doing video.
Yeah.
A whole new level.
Yeah. I had a whole rigmarole Sunday trying to find an outfit last minute. My best friend, she couldn't make it out for the special because I literally have people coming from all over. So she could make it though. She sent me a bunch of money and she was like, "Go get your nails done and get an outfit or whatever." But the problem is I'm plus size. And so I went shopping and it was just nothing fit in my style. Nothing really was what I wanted.
What are your go-to stores?
Well, I can only shop a few places because I'm plus size. I got to go to Torrid or I got to go to Maurice's. And everything there literally looks like I am just trying to get a substitute teaching job. It's just not the vibe. And that's not how you spell Maurice's.
I don't know. Well, you had to call me out on it. I was like, maybe I can get in really fast. I'm terrible at spelling. And
that was great. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm just curious. as you don't stop laughing. I don't mean to laugh at you. And You can't talk because you're still...
I'm still laughing at how dumb you are. No, I'm kidding. I can't help it. I laugh when I'm uncomfortable or happy or think something's funny. So it's just not... I mean, it's not that it's not my style. I could make a lot of these things my style, but when I went into the store, it's not the same selection as when you're online.
Okay.
So they had like 5 things in my size in every store I went into. And in Torrid, everything is just like... There's ruffles everywhere. And I just... It was just... Nothing was... vibing. And so I just ended up being like, okay, I'll wear the things I brought. I have something. I can just wear it. I know I'll feel good in it. I'll know I'll feel comfortable in it. So
you going for like a vibe? I mean, like in theater,
I'm always like, going for a vibe. I never put an outfit on and just like leave the house and I'm like, oh yeah, this is whatever. Like I rarely, if I'm doing that, I have no makeup on, no hair. It's like bike shorts and an oversized t-shirt and slides. But if I'm not wearing that, like I'm actually putting together an outfit because I like to get dressed. I like to
trying to like embody some kind of animal, maybe. That's
no.
What I was saying in the theater. They'd be like, what kind of animal would this character be?
My
a lioness.
My aesthetic is like
a armadillo-esque. I don't know. I was trying to think of
definitely not that. I feel like that would have a lot of leather involved. But that's not
something
me.
Something like with bumps on it.
My vibe's more like I take a little bit of everything I love from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And that's like kind
just
of...
Just like a good radio station.
Yeah. I'm like the top hits. Like a good Sunday afternoon radio lineup. And, you know, a little bit from today's style as well. But it just... Nothing was really fitting. It's all very marmy. Is that a word?
Marmy.
No. Smarmy is a word.
Smarmy, yeah.
I'm thinking of... What's the word for like... it's like frumpy and very marmish. That's what I'm looking for. Mm. I think I made that up too, but
marmy.
But it's just very like, it's just not at all giving what I'm, it's all the plus size clothes are designed to like hide your body, like hide behind this tent of ruffles and stars when I just want to wear clothes. I just want to put together a cute outfit. I don't really care if my fupa hangs out or my stomach hangs out, you know?
Okay.
So it was difficult. Denver did me pretty dirty. I also almost passed out in the pedicure chair. That was a weird day.
Today?
No, on Sunday. Okay. On Sunday, I literally ate shit. I have like my left toe. I literally ate shit. I ate feces. No,
protein.
I was walking in front
new
of
your diet, trying to get your gut flora
keto.
Different. Yeah.
It's probiotics.
Yeah, yeah.
But
whose shit was it?
Actually, this is a new thing. It's postbiotics. It's you take prebiotics, you eat the shit, and then you eat your shit, and then you get the postbiotics from the prebiotics.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully, it was a skinny person's shit, you know.
So the nail salon was downtown, and it's called Nail Story in Denver. So if you want to go to a nail salon,
yeah, I think I've heard it.
Go there because they were. You'll know why you should go there because what amazing people! First of all, it's a giant panel window that looks into the entire salon, and I trip in my slides. I trip and I eat the hardest dick ever. Like I just face plant. I'm pouring blood out of this knee. My left toe is swollen and sprained. I have like scrapes all over my legs. My hand was all scraped up. Of course I had a green juice in my hand in this thick glass bottle. So it was bouncing around, making all kinds of noise. So everyone around me look to see me, and it hurt so bad it like sort of knocked my equilibrium off. Like I have video of me afterwards where I'm literally like, I just have to breathe through it. Because I was trying to walk it off. Well, I walk inside and I'm like, I have an appointment, and she goes, okay. And I start to, you know, bleed. I see how bad I'm bleeding, and I'm like, oh, can I have a Band-Aid? So I bandage my knee, and then I get in the pedicure chair, and about 5 minutes in, I look at myself, and I could feel it too, but I look at myself, there's a mirror across the way, and I'm white. Like, my lips are gray, my skin is white, I'm about to faint. Like, and I've had fainting spells my whole life, so I know what they feel like, and I know how to get them to fix. So I literally have to tell this poor nail lady, I'm like, excuse me, and she's like, yes. I'm like, I don't feel very good, do you have a cold towel? And she looks at me like, did you mean to go to the emergency room? Like, what are you doing here? And I was just like, can I have... And the lady that was doing nails next to her was looking at me, and she could see how pale I was. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think so. And somebody got me some water. So I start drinking water. Then the front desk lady grabs me an ice pack. I put the ice pack on my chest. Slowly but surely, I start to feel a little bit better. I'm still pretty woozy. The lady that was sitting next, she stands up, she comes over, she puts two thumbs on the middle of my forehead where my third eye is. Whoa. And she pushes and she goes, relax. And I just put my head back and relax. And then she grabbed my hand and started pressing all these pressure points. And I could feel the blood like rushing back to my head. And like very shortly I felt better. So they like really took care of me and they were so kind. And I like tipped that lady for doing that pressure point thing. And she was like, no, you don't need to do this. No, 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 it's okay. And I was like, yeah, yes, $15, you saved my life. I could have fainted and drowned in this little pedicure boat. You know, so I just have had a very weird week.
Wow. Yeah, starting off,
that was just one starting day off rough. That yeah, was yeah. just the Sunday. That was just my week. Second day in town.
And then your recording is
Thursday. Yeah. Thursday night in Fort Collins at the Comedy Four.
We're recording this on Monday, just so people know.
Yep.
Where we're at in the week. So that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. I've already accomplished all of that this week.
Wow.
Yeah. I've injured myself, almost passed out, then went to several Targets and an Old Navy.
And, I love a good Target.
And a mall I looking a for Target. Something to wear and found literally nothing.
So what are you going for with the look?
Well, I always go for like my main stage look is always something very 90s grunge girl, very okay. The Craft, very yes, clueless, yes. but goth. So I'm probably going to wear this dress that I wear it all the time. I'm actually wearing it in the promo for my special.
Okay.
And I'll wear that with like a long sweater and some combat boots. And
I have your website pulled up. So I was like,
oh my gosh, you're so professional.
I was trying.
Yeah, if you go to my Instagram, I just promoted again, so my should be up there in the reels somewhere.
Reels.
Yeah. I always have to put some like clickbait label on this my stand-up reels.
The denim?
No, it's that is the dress. It is okay. The dress, but yeah, I'm also yeah. wearing it in the promo
it's pink,
down there.
Very pink.
It's actually red in person, but I wear it so much. I wear it look there, I'm wearing it again. That's those pictures of me at the Comedy Fort right there, those reels, that's gonna be me for my okay. special.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Same vibe. Only I didn't bring that leather jacket. I'll be wearing a red sweater, I think.
Okay, yeah. Real winter vibes for Denver.
Yeah, it's very like comfy, my fall comfy look. Yeah. That reminds me, I need to ask my husband to bring my leather jacket when he comes because he's flying in tomorrow.
Nice. For the special. Yeah, bring the leather jacket. Are you thinking of, so what went into, you know, the look and like what you want to do for this recording?
So much didn't. I only started thinking about it on Sunday because I have undiagnosed ADHD. And I forgot how fast time goes. And I started a new job and I was just like working and trying to get booked for stand up and trying to get stage time because I knew the special was coming up, but I wasn't really thinking about how close it was. And even though I called my friend way in advance to ask her, because she's been on HBO a bunch, to ask her advice about what to wear and all this stuff, I still didn't put any thought into the outfit until Sunday. And I was like,
you're talking about Whitney Cummings?
Yeah, yes, Whitney Cummings.
I was trying to think.
My best friend, yeah. My bestie. No, Debbie Gutierrez.
Okay.
But she was just giving me all this great advice. But one of the things that she said, you know, I just kept thinking about is I just need to be comfortable in it and like it. So I'm not thinking about it. And that's why I feel in that dress. I don't really think about it. And, you know, it's a little slutty, but so am I, you know?
Is the material slutty?
Very.
Okay. So it's all coming together. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's a theme.
Yeah, I'm like a female comic stereotype. I was a comedian's girlfriend before I did comedy.
Right. Yeah.
I was a whore.
I'm just gonna let you finish that sentence.
That's the end.
Okay. I was a whore. Period. Yeah, so did you just have a bunch of material you wanted to get rid of? Or like, what was the, you're like, I want to get something out there now.
Sorry to clear that's my like throat into the microphone. You can look forward to listening to that on my album on Spotify. It's a lot of throat clearing. Actually, I've been doing stand-up for 10 years this year.
Uh-huh.
And it felt sort of penultimate. Like, I've been doing this 45, I've been doing it. And there's like an hour's worth of material, but I pared it down to like the best 45 because that's what we're doing. We're doing a 45-minute recording. But I've been doing this hour for like 3 years now. I've been working it out and working the kinks out. And that's not a very long time, but a lot of these jokes come from sets from years past. So I'd be working on a set for a while. I would dump that and work on a different set. Well, then about 3 or 4 years ago, I knew I was going to need to put an album out soon or I wanted to, rather. I shouldn't say need to. Nobody needs to hear me tell dick jokes. But my grandma does. She really can't wait for
that
it
should
to come
be
out.
The first comic. I needed to hear these dick jokes. That could be that could be a blurb.
Based on the internet, it's going to be a bunch of 17-year-old boys just commenting the straight-faced emoji under all my stand-up clips. They love telling me they don't think I'm funny, which literally I could not give a shit less. I worked at an esports arena and had to deal with teenage boys from this generation for long enough to know that
we don't care. Yeah. It's probably a good place to be. Yeah.
Their opinions are not great. But so I basically was going to record an album. It was going to happen. I was going to self-produce it. And Laugh After Dark had a residency in Las Vegas. And I was working for them in their rotation of comics that did the show. And I loved doing that show because it's not very many shows run like that anymore. But they wouldn't give you the light if you were killing. So if you were killing, you could do everybody only gets 10. But if you're killing, you could do like 25. And amazing. It was awesome. It was the best. Because that's the goal, right? You don't want to get the light because then you know you're killing. But so I had a good reputation with them because I, and I'm not, it's like a humble brag, but I didn't get the light. You know, So I had a good reputation with them. I knew they knew I could do time. So when I decided I was going to do an album, I had one friend who has an indie record label who was like, yes, I'll do it for you no matter what. Then I approached Laugh After Dark just to get some advice. And then they were like, well, actually, we'd love to produce it for you. Okay. And they then through all the deal making and everything, it came out that they were going to be the sole producers and they were going to run everything. And yeah, and then it just sort of was going to happen and I wasn't going to have to put very much work into it, which made me have nothing to focus on except for how I shouldn't be doing it.
The jokes.
Not even the jokes. I don't. Nope. I can't even do that. My brain's just like, you suck. How dare you? So it's not that any special occasion other than it just felt like time.
Yeah. It's a culmination of a decade's work.
Yeah. And I really love these jokes, but I'm ready to stop telling them because the jokes I want to tell next are much more relevant to my life. And I mean, not that my marriage jokes don't have relevancy. I'm still married, but I just have newer stuff I want to talk about and explore. I sound so pretentious. I sound like all those stand-ups. Like, literally, I'm just going to warn everyone. You're going to see me in 3 years. It's still going to be cum jokes. It's just different cum jokes I want to explore. Like, that's sure. It's not going to go anywhere. There's a few things that I want, like, jokes that I'm working on that I really like that are new that are, like, about my issues with suicidal ideation and depression and anxiety and stuff. And it just doesn't fit in the hour I'm doing right now. And the opportunity, like, I can't go from being like, our wedding night was so crazy to being like, then I wanted to kill myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a hard turn. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very hard turn. So, I want to make sure that I give that the attention it needs because I'm enjoying doing that material. But at the same time, I worked on all this shit.
Yeah.
And I really like these jokes and I want to do an album. I want to have something out there for people to consume that is my stand up. And truthfully, we all just want clips. I just want clips to go viral. I mean, that's all I want. I'm looking at my reels right now being like, damn, that one only got 1200 likes. because that's how we're going to make our futures as stand-ups is by getting, it's not TV anymore. It's not any of those. TV helps, but nothing does what the internet does for you. Because the end goal is putting asses in the seats. We have to be able to sell tickets, which I still can't do. You know, I'm freaking hawking tickets for my special still.
Right.
But, these are going to be high quality clips that I have. It's going to be out on Amazon for a ton of people to see. There's a possibility. There's a slight teeny eensy weensy possibility. A ton of people will like it and it'll blow up my following. And then there's a possibility that people who already love me will consume it and it will just solidify those people to continue to consume my products. Either way, my products, that sounds like I'm talking about my boobs, but I mean more like my content. Cause I'm sort of like a content creator as much as I'm a comic, you know?
Right. Right.
I do both.
Interesting. Yeah.
Cause lots of comics just post comedy. I don't just post stand-up clips. I mean, I post my whole life on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
I'm posting the search for my biological father on the internet right now.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's deep.
It's very deep. Yeah, you can see how I want to talk about that on stage, but
yeah.
Especially because he came out of nowhere. He slid into my Instagram DMs.
Interesting.
And he was like, I think I'm your dad. It was a lot longer, but It wasn't like, moving on. You up might be your dad. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like it wasn't, it was like a very long, and you know, my mom was a promiscuous party teen in the 80s. So there was a few guys it could be, but his name was one I grew up hearing.
Okay.
So when he Instagram DM'd me, I was like, immediate tears, like adrenaline rush. I didn't know how, all these emotions that I didn't think I gave a fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I honestly did not think I gave a fuck until this happened. And then I've spent the last few weeks since that happened just processing it, DMing with him. I sent in a kit to Ancestry because he's on there. So it'll tell us if we're
crazy,
if he's really my dad and stuff. It has been so weird too, because his baby pictures look like me as a baby, which is really freaky because I don't look like anyone else in my family. It's been a process, bro. Another reason why I haven't been thinking about the special as much as I thought I was going to have so much more TikTok followers. I thought I was going to be so much more on my hustle when my special came around, but life hit me with a couple of 1-2 punches leading up to it that I had to sit on the couch and go, well, I just sure hope everything works out, because I don't have any energy to deal with anything other than just putting my foot in front of the other foot right now.
Yeah, yeah. Damn. Yeah, that's a lot. Did you grow up with someone else, like a father figure in the house at all? Did you, was your mother?
My mom dated on and off. I had a first stepdad who was an awful dude. And then
first stepdad.
Yeah, first stepdad's often, if you are a stepkid and you say first stepdad, you know that's the bad one.
That could be your first album name. No, first stepdad.
First stepdad.
that's what the first album's about.
My first stepdad was not a good dude. And they got divorced, and then she dated a bunch. And then in my late teens, early 20s, my now stepdad came into her life, and he's treating me like his kid, you know. But what did I say?
I was just thinking, I want to call my stepdad. I'm gonna go home for Christmas and call him my first stepdad,
because he's your first stepdad.
Yeah, he is my first stepdad.
But is he your still stepdad?
Yeah, still stepdad, but just the like first stepdad.
Hey, listen, some stepdad kids understand what I mean when I say first stepdad.
I'm sorry.
Teen mom, you know, she had to grow up with me. You know, that's really what our life was. And I was raised a majority of my life around my grandparents, too. So my grandma, my grandpa, my aunt were kind of always around in my life. Helping to raise me.
Talking about connecting to your ancestors. We talked about that in the last podcast.
Yeah, my grandma's my favorite. She's super. It's been really cool on Ancestry. I've been finding all these cool, like, old pictures and, like, things. Like, they used to do Indian censuses from the government, and there's all these, my entire family is on there. Like, I'll see my grandma's name written down, but she was, like, 2 years old at the time. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's just interesting stuff like that. Nobody finds it interesting but me. I know, because, and this is why I'm a comic, is because my family is the way it is. Because when I was last at the family party and I was showing my grandma, and her and I were really into it, my mom walked by and went, boring. And I was like, sick.
She doesn't care. Huh?
She don't give a fuck. She does not care.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it skips a generation, like interest in family lineage. My mom doesn't seem to give a shit about family tree stuff either.
Does she know who her dad is, though?
Yeah. So you think your mom would be more interested?
Well, I think that's the thing, is like, for my mom, she's not interested in what the lineage I'm looking up, because she knows it all.
Okay.
Once we know if he's my dad or not, she might be interested in his lineage. But all of the stories I'm learning about, she grew up hearing from my grandma. You know, my grandma was always telling, my great grandma's brother died of tuberculosis when he was 17. And then their other brother died at 10 from getting kicked by a horse. And I was just like, God, that's horrible.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bad luck.
Yeah. But then my great grandmother lived till she was 90, you know, so one kid died at 10, one at 17, and one at 90, you know? So it's just, I don't know. I'm hyperfixate on shit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you don't know who your dad is, and it all of a sudden comes up that you might know who your dad is, you get all these weird feelings about ancestry and where you came from and biology and, you know, it was freaky talking to him because we had a lot in common. And
like, you both like pizza or...
Yeah, we both like pizza and dogs, and it's like, not a lot of people like that stuff. No, we're both like into smoking weed, we're both into video game, which is like, not a lot of people like this stuff. But to meet your potential biological father, and what's weird about it is my mom doesn't like those things. So these are all things that my mom doesn't like that I got, that she had no idea. Like, he's a struggling writer. And I'm a comic. My mom works in construction, you know, like very different lives. So there was all these parallels that just were weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So what are you going to do if it turns out he's not your dad? You're just going to drop it? You're just going to be like, hey, bye. Lose my number.
No, I'm just joking. I probably won't be like chilling with him or nothing, I have a feeling he is. Yeah, I have a lot of evidence, cool. But if he isn't, I'll be heartbroken, but sorry. It's okay. I'm just being authentic. This is the problem with me. I've been podcasting for too many years, and I keep telling people I'm bad on podcasts because I'm too authentic, and I'm just like,
I think it's great.
Here's my look. You want to talk about the inside of my asshole? I'll tell you all the secrets. And that's secrets. I don't know.
It holds secrets.
Listen, again, I don't know what I'm saying as I'm saying it. It's just coming out of my mouth because I'm saying whatever my brain is thinking. But what were we talking about? No, I can't stop thinking about my asshole secrets.
The guy turns out not to be your dad. Okay. You're going to keep that secret in your butt.
I'm going to keep my butthole secrets. No, I'll be devastated. I will. But what it has changed for me is it has, you know, a lot of people in my life, like my husband, have been reminding me that you had no idea you cared before this. So even if he's not my biological father, I now know that this is something that I want to seek out in my life one way or another. I want to find this person that I, you know, I'm 34. I've never even spoken to him until 3 weeks ago. If this is my dad, you know,
yeah.
Never even said a word to him.
Didn't like pursue you. Is that something you like resent or?
No,
like,
because
why weren't you coming out before?
Because he was 19. He was a 19-year-old boy. I mean,
so you have that understanding of like he's a person.
Literally, he sent me a picture of him when my mom and him were dating, and he's like perched on this fence post. You can tell it's like a public building, and I was just annoyed at him because that's how young he was. Like, I was just like, get off that, what are you doing? Like, he was just like a punk kid, you know. So I don't hold any resentments towards him because his life moved on. He has a whole other family. That's the other shit, is if he is my dad, I have two brothers,
crazy,
that I've never even spoken to before, you know, when I speak to them, if I do. Yeah, it's been a lot to process. Yeah, so yeah. You can imagine I wasn't really thinking about what I was going to wear on my special.
I mean, that would have been the most important thing to me. okay, well, is the Vegas place still producing everything on the special?
Yeah, they are. They're doing everything. Okay. So they'll be out here. They're working with Comedy 4 to put on the show and stuff. It's a Thursday night, so ticket sales have been a little light, and I'm a nobody. So
where can they find them?
If this is going to go up before them, you can go
put it out tomorrow if you want.
You can go to laughafterdark.com and you can get your tickets there. Yeah. I'm very excited to be doing it either way. It's going to be a really, really fun night, and a lot of my friends are going to be there, and it feels a bit like my own personal comedy prom. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's nice.
A little bit like graduation night or something.
Your bat mitzvah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What's the Latina girl thing?
Quinceañera.
Yeah.
Only I'm 34, so it'd be a 34 era.
You get it.
Yeah, you get the point. Yeah. I'm excited about it. I just had a lot of other shit.
Is your maybe
going
dad
on.
Coming?
No.
I mean, you need to sell tickets. Your maybe brothers and your maybe dad could maybe support
you. Well,
they're
under 21, so they couldn't get in, but
they could still buy tickets. They could still buy multiple tickets.
But he lives in Atlanta, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
It was wild too, because he sent me like this. He was in this commercial back in the 90s when they used to do, remember those like very sensual 90s edited commercials where it was like a person looking off camera, and then they'd be doing a voiceover, but on camera they'd be like smoking a cigarette, and then it would cut to them doing the voiceover, but one of the cuts would be black and white, and then one would be like sepia, and then one would be like color, and it was all probably not. You're too young. You're looking at me like I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, we're about the same age.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think of like what product they'd be selling.
It would be like perfume. It would be like perfume or like bras. Victoria's Secret did a lot of it was a lot of very soft lit side panning shots,
like a Breva or something, like that's what I
definitely not cold sore medication.
Hey, sometimes you need a cold sore medication and you smoke a cigarette pondering what cold sore medication you should be taking.
What was funny was to see him in that video, because he's in it like it's this promo for this 90s fashion line,
okay,
and he's in it talking about the person who owns the fashion line. And it was just like, this is what, like, that's his version of like my old YouTube videos where yeah, I used to do like slow motion pans across the liquor aisle of a Walmart in the middle of my vlog. Like,
nice.
That was
classy.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's artsy.
It was very artsy. I thought it was artsy.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I just was showing my love of UV vodka to the world.
Why did you choose Fort Collins? Why didn't you do it at a place in Vegas?
I was going to do Nevada? It at my home club.
Which is?
LA Comedy Club at the Strat.
Because you're from Nevada.
I'm from Nevada and I live in Las Vegas right now.
The Boondocks, if you will.
I'm very much the Boondocks. I'm just obsessed with Colorado. I want to be a Colorado comic. I want to live here someday. I love it here. I come here so much. I honestly do more stage time in Colorado than I do in Vegas, because usually I'm doing it only infrequently in Vegas. And then if I'm not in Colorado or Vegas, I'm in Idaho or LA or Arizona or something. So Colorado is actually the majority of where I do my stage time. Okay. And the crowds in Fort Collins are just, I just love them, to be frank. There's not a crowd in the country that really hit. I mean, Comedy Works downtown is like insane. And the Comedy Fort is like a close second for me. Like, there's a few clubs in the world that I just love going to, and the Comedy Fort's one of them. And it has a great brick backdrop. It's just a very classic comedy club. It's low ceilings. It's dark, but I don't know. I just felt like if I wasn't going to do it in Las Vegas at my home club, I was going to do it at the place that I love the most, which is Colorado. And I knew David has been supporting me since I started doing comedy. Basically, he's been giving me stage time.
10 years ago?
Well, when I first started coming out to Denver.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been giving me, he booked me on the Colorado room every time I came out, every nice. Single time. He always gave me stage time and he would hook me up with other stage time. So he's been so supportive. So I knew he would hook it up, and he did. And
reached out to him. You're mm-hmm. like, hey, I want to do this, and I want to do it here.
Yep. And then I got the producers in contact with David, and then they worked out all the other shit.
All the deets. Yeah. David Rodriguez is the owner of the Comedy Fort.
Just also
for
an amazing comic. I mean, he's a great comic.
He's fun.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's fun. Great he's okay. poker dealer.
He's great. Yeah. He's okay. No, he's hilarious. But I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Unless you've gotten to headline the Comedy for it, like flex.
Yeah, no, I have not.
If you're a comic and you've even been able to perform there, you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, it's just kind of perfect. And I'm a bit crowd. I can do crowd work sometimes, and it's perfect for crowd work because you can see the people.
Yeah.
They're close. You're not so high up that they're going to be able to see up my dresses. But I'm not so low to the ground that they think we're on the same level and they're going to yell out at me the whole time. So I don't know.
No, it seems like a great place. I mean, it's exciting.
I think it was a good choice. We'll see.
No, I think it's going to be great. And then it'll be, how did you work out with Amazon? Can you just put things on there or
can just distribute
it.
You
can just put it on there.
So whoever, like Laugh After Dark, like they have distribution already set up with Amazon.
Okay, cool.
Because they've done two seasons of 15-minute specials.
Oh,
so they did a bunch of specials all over the country. Comics like Dave Yates and stuff have specials
I've
on there,
that
I think.
Name, yeah.
And now they're doing their first foray into half hour, 45 minute specials. And I'm one of the first four.
Nice.
And
exciting.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I mean, listen, the amount of money they're investing in me, if anyone wants to invest that amount of money in me, thank you so much.
She just gave a thumbs up just so you know.
I'm doing visual gags on a podcast. It's new.
Yeah. I'm working on getting video. Okay. I'm working on it. Very expensive. If anyone wants to invest in me, that'd be great.
Well, and that was the other thing too, is like the people who are doing it are really incredibly talented media producers in everything they do, and they're like legit, and they also really believe in comics and comedy, and I like them as people, and it was just everything sort of aligned to feel right. And so, you know, fuck it, man. If you're willing to put the money forth, I'm gonna put forward my best effort to put on a kick-ass show and make a great special. And you know, I worked my ass off. I did a bunch of headlining sets this summer just to make sure that I got as many 45-minute sets in as possible. I ate dick on a bunch of cash on a bunch of gigs just because I wanted the stage time. And now it's here and I'm shitting a fucking brick.
On my couch?
On your couch, bro.
Shouldn't have given you the coffee.
You shouldn't have given me cold coffee. Then I wouldn't be shitting on your couch.
Well, you know, we're going to get a new one.
It's fine.
Yeah. So you know what you're going to call it? I mean, is there like, you know,
I don't want to reveal it sure, because sure, sure. If I don't call it that, I don't want to. I don't know.
You don't want people to be like, hey.
I don't want the real fans to be upset.
Sure, sure. Yeah. The TikTokers.
The deep Joslyn Sharp stans to be.
Do you have a name for your fans?
No.
Sharpies?
My TikTok handle's Wizard of Jaws. So maybe.
The Wizards?
Maybe they'd be the Wizards or the Wizzies or the.
The Jaws.
The Jaws.
The Jaws. The Sharks. The Sharks. Like Jaws.
Yeah, Sharks that would
isn't
be,
bad.
It's not bad, but considering it's connected to like the most common and least creative way children bullied me, not stoked on it as a branding choice. I would probably explore more options if I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, but you can't. You know, you can't choose your audience.
I can't. They may name themselves. They don't seem to be concerned about naming themselves. They just seem to be concerned about. When I'm going to wear the red dress again. And
when are you going to wear the red dress again?
And what color my lipstick is. That's the majority of the questions I get. And I get a lot of questions of when I'm coming to cities I don't ever perform in. It's like all of my social media following is like, when are you coming to Charlotte? When are you coming to this random town in Virginia? When are you coming to Houston? I'm like, I don't know.
You know. Houston. I bet you do great in Houston.
I bet I would. I could probably get booked in Houston if I tried. But the problem with comedy that people don't understand, it's not like I can call up Houston and be like, yeah, it's Joslyn Sharp here. I was just wondering if I can get a flight out and a hotel. I'm going to come do some spots. You got to get yourself out there. You got to pay for the lodging. You got to pay for the travel. And you got to do a whole bunch of shit for free. If you're not, I'm not going to put asses in seats. I'm not a name. So if you're not a name, you have to go prove that you're like funny. Cause all you have to do is one round. If you do one round of shows and you just like murder on every show, you'll get booked again. But you'll have to foot the bill to get there. I have to foot the bill to fly, to get the hotel or Airbnb, to drive everywhere, Uber everywhere, to eat for the whole time I'm there. You know, all of it.
It's rough. Yeah.
It's rough, man. It's rough. It's rough, and there's like more comics than there's ever been. And
yeah, for sure.
But I also feel like they fall off super quick. Like every time I feel so. Like there's a ton of comics. I mean, I won't say that about my scene because there's a lot of great comics that are coming up in my scene that I really love. So, and I feel like in this scene too,
in Nevada.
It's okay. You don't have to say it with such disbelief and disdain.
Nah, it's a joke. Come on.
Yeah, there's very funny comics in Nevada. Gabriel Cryer. I'm sorry I called you Gabriel. It's Gabe. Don't tell him I said that.
That's what I'm going to name the podcast, Gabriel Cryer.
Gabriel Cryer. Garrett Hall, Justin Cheechin. There's like... literally so many great comics working right now in Vegas that have been like coming up in the scene that like I love to see new comics come in.
What I've heard from Vegas, it was hard to get people to turn around from the slot machines.
Like, well, that's the thing. Makes it hard. It's not bad comics there's bad comics everywhere, but it's bad comedy. It's just bad comedy audiences that they're not there to see comedy. They're literally, comedy is an afterthought. Even when you go to a lot of the comedy clubs, they just like picked up a Groupon or walked up to a ticketing booth and was like, what can we do in between dinner and gambling?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not really like they're hardcore comedy fans. Sometimes they're like, I love comedy. We got to go to the comedy club. That's different. Sometimes you luck out, but for the most part, it's like garbage, you know?
Yeah, garbage.
I mean, Sam Talent. There's like this story that I always retell. I probably told it on this podcast last time. But when he moved back, I was talking to somebody who, one of my first runs out here, and they were like, oh, how did you end up out here? Because they found out I was from Vegas, and I explained the connection to Sam Talent. And they go, oh, I'll never forget when he came back from Vegas the first time. And I go, oh, yeah, what did he say? He goes, I asked him, I said, hey, Sam, how's Vegas? And he goes, Sam leaned in and went, bleak. And it's literally the best description, because there can be really great nights, but you really should never, ever have your hopes up if you're a comic in Vegas. Because you can literally go up in front of a sold out room and there will be not a heartbeat in the crowd. Just a bunch of pacemakers turned down to 10%. You know, it's very different. So I don't know.
So that's how you start coming out to Denver, because you met Sam?
Yeah, I met Sam, and then he was like, well, if you ever come to Denver, you know, just let me know. I'll hook it up. And then I was like, oh, cool, shit. I'll be there next week. Okay, and he came out to Denver. Yeah. And he really...
Man, that's a connection to Fort Collins, because he lives in Fort Collins now. That makes sense.
Yeah, he really hooked it up. I got to do a lot of great shows my first time around, and I've been continuing to get to do those shows since. And that's the other reason I love Colorado, is the scene has been so kind to me. And I'm sort of... And this is not me being self-deprecating, but I'm not everyone in Denver's cup of tea, because I'm like a garbage gutter comic. Like, I'm, you know, I'm really just saying the most awful things on that are in, all the secrets in my brain. I'm just saying them
in your butt
and in my butt. I'm saying them to the audience. Okay.
And I might call this episode Butt Secrets.
But Sam gave me some really amazing vouches, and I won't repeat the things he said about me because they sound like humble brags, even though they are. And I will happily repeat them off mic. I'm going to keep those secrets in my butt. No, but he said really kind things about me, which put a lot of pressure on me. But then also I loved that. I loved that feeling. And then what I saw when I was in Denver and Colorado and Boulder is that the comics around here are really competitive in a healthy way. They not only want to beat themselves, but everyone just wants to bury the person after them. And there's other scenes where people would like admonish you for that. They'll be like, you shouldn't do that. It's bad for the show.
Interesting. Yeah,
and this is the first scene I had ever come to where people were like into it, because I like that idea. I like the idea of pushing yourself. And then what I love is following someone who just murdered. If someone just smish mosh begoshed and you got to go up there and do something afterwards, and you can keep that audience or you can get them back, that's some shit right there. You think crushing feels good? Go up and crush after someone just crushed. That feels good. You know, especially before when you first get, because when somebody really crushes, when you first get up there, it sounds like Fenway Park. The audience could give a shit about you. They're like, remember when he said, blah, blah, that was the best. Oh, my God. Blah. And so you're like, oh, hey, I just flew in, you know. So I don't know.
Find you need to be more aggressive when that happens? Or do you think you just like, you kind of got like, I know how to get people's attention from all the Vegas shows.
I just do my material. Always.
You just lean on the material?
Always. Because what I realized in watching other comics and watching people talk about other comics is that we're all bothered by the same thing, which is pandering. Mm-hmm. And part of pandering is acting like, oh, I need to do something extra because you really liked the guy before me. And not saying that my material can handle on its own. There's lots of things you can do. You can acknowledge. It's a great idea to acknowledge the set before you and go, oh my God, that was so amazing, you know? But at the same time, a lot of the time I just go up and start doing my material. I don't shift my energy. And eventually, if you're just confident and you just keep the pauses where the laughs go, the audience will, they just start to find the rhythm again. And then once they find the rhythm, then you're back in the pocket and
nice.
You're good to go. So I don't know. For me, I don't really do anything. I just do what I normally do.
All right. Easy enough. All right. Yeah. So,
is that overly confident?
No, I think it's good. I think you know, they ain't bragging if you can back it up.
I mean, I can sometimes.
Well, you know, it's.
I do love to bomb in Colorado, which is another reason I think I love coming here, is because I just work harder here. I try harder. I bomb a lot here, too.
Well, you know, that's part of growing. Me, too. Well, in my mind, I'm getting. You were also on Katie Bowman's podcast, yep. Help Me, I'm Scared. I can't remember if it was from this podcast or the podcast that we recorded last time. We talked a lot about daddy energy.
Yes, like that was last time.
Yeah. We talked about Eric Roberts.
Yes. And,
you know, something that comes up with like between the multiple podcasts I produce here is like different hot dad, like daddy energy.
Yes.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot. And I hadn't heard anyone say daddy energy or like, ooh, daddy a lot. I yes. remember that as a clip from a lot
I gotta
of,
be honest, my feelings on daddy energy have changed.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I mean, wow. There's a lot to dig in there. There's a lot.
I had a lot of distance from it before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm a little questioning of the women who have a daddy and are comfortable sexualizing.
I mean, it must be nice. If the people have like a sugar daddy. I mean, it must be
nice.
No,
I just mean like the women who have a dad, but then they're also sexualizing the word daddy.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. This is opening up a whole new can of worms than I was thinking of.
Yeah. I'm just not. I mean, I didn't even like it when my potential biological father told me I had pretty eyes. I was like, okay.
Hey, chill dude. Out. Hey, dude. You
know?
You're like, my husband has a gun.
He's like, I'm your dad.
You're like, maybe.
Potentially.
Yeah, I'm still keeping a fence up. Maybe not a wall. It's a fence.
Yeah, I still believe in daddy energy because there's undeniable daddy energy. Robert Downey Jr.
Brendan Fraser's been coming up a lot.
Brendan Fraser has like cordial dad energy. Like he would kiss you too hard and too long, like a 40s movie kiss.
Wow.
You know, like no tongue, but just like compressed lips, like in Gone with the Wind.
Interesting. And would you be into that?
I would not. Okay. I know it's a lot of missionary with arms wrapped around each other. And I
with
would just.
Brendan Fraser?
I would just be thinking the whole time, like, aren't your arms asleep? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Interesting. No, those arms are strong.
I feel like he's very cuddly and loving.
George of the Jungle.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus Robert Downey Jr., who I feel like will. Literally text on a BlackBerry while he's doing anal on you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I was thinking was coming up. I don't know.
Sorry, that was one of my butthole secrets.
Alec Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice. Alec Baldwin.
The only reason I can't stand Alec Baldwin is obviously the racial epithets.
Yeah. If we could not focus on that.
Here's the thing for me is I'm really trying to not focus on that anymore.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to sexualize someone, I could sexualize a not racist.
Is he racist?
I mean, it's pretty racist.
I thought he was like sexist.
And racist.
Not any better.
But in American culture, you are more acceptable if you're sexist than racist.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No. That's okay. Well, never mind.
No, I mean, I'm not going to deny it. He's sexually attractive.
Yeah, Beetlejuice Alec Baldwin is peak Alec Baldwin.
But I would feel like I was being a bad ally if I didn't like make him read a book about, you know, people of color or something before we fucked. Yeah, yeah. Like he would have to do a book report and prove to me that he's educated himself a little bit.
Okay. Let's say he did that. And then in this hypothetical, anyway, 90s Alec Baldwin versus 90s Brendan Fraser.
Which 90s Brendan Fraser, hands down.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, I'm going to pick the not racist. I know I'm making a lot of wild accusations, but I've decided that he's a racist.
Brendan Fraser does behind his Canadian doors, you know?
I don't know, man. Brendan Fraser he really hits me as a guy who's been like, actually, I've only had sex with two women my whole life. Like that's the vibe I get from him.
My wife and my previous wife.
100%.
Because I think he's been married twice.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's bad, but it's definitely not. You're not like...
Anyone could have been fucking in the 90s. It was Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, but I don't think.
Yeah, he's just.
I think he's too loving. It's a compliment. He's so full of love and Care Bear energy that I know he's not piping down. I know it's not happening.
Piping down.
I know.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, picture Brendan Fraser choking a girl. Like, that's not going to happen.
I can only picture him choking a mummy.
And I picture that frequently, but for different reasons.
Yeah, okay. Again, daddy energy.
Daddy energy, which Billy Zane also has. Well, that's not Billy Zane. That's
We talked about Eric Roberts. We talked about
no, the guy who plays the mummy. He looks exactly like Billy Zane.
Oh, he does kind of look like Billy Zane. Yeah,
but he's not Billy Zane. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. We got into a lot of stuff here. I know we both got a show to get to.
Yeah, right, I mean, this is a regular podcast appearance for me. Just trauma dump with no explanation.
Yeah, we got it all in.
Share too much about your thoughts about what other people would be like sexually.
Well, you know, it's part of what makes podcasts fun.
Hey, I mean, fun is a word.
I'd enjoyed it.
I am so insecure that I never think anyone enjoys speaking to me ever. So it's always nice to get the feedback that.
Well, I enjoyed you enough to have you back on. So
that's true.
Yeah, so,
but I'm such a psychotic person that my brain's like, this is a prank.
It's a trap.
Well, I legit had the like middle school boy ask me out as a prank thing happen multiple times. Not
multiple
just once,
times.
Multiple oh, times. No. Yeah. One time I even got to see him walk back to his group of friends and them all bust up laughing. So.
Because you'd said yes?
No, yeah. Of course I said yes. I had a unibrow. Of anyone asked me out, I was just like, I would love to go out too. That'd be very nice. I was very harsh looking. I wore a lot of Hanes crew neck sweatshirts and sweatpant combos. Mm, yeah. Unibrow. Straight sweat A students. Pants. Yeah. I would wear a sweatband in my hair sometimes. It was very, I was unhinged.
Yeah, you're putting out an energy for sure. Yeah.
Putting out a very specific energy. The girl who brings cucumber sandwiches for lunch energy. That was me.
Wow. And I know from the last podcast, you said that you were voted most likely to cure cancer. Yeah. So that's what that energy was putting out.
Apparently.
Yeah. She's going to cure cancer with that headband.
Fast forward to me at 19 snorting Vicodin off a toilet. Sure.
So imagine the first thing you say is, I don't know who my dad is after you do it.
I mean, that's pretty much what I was talking about all the time then.
Oh, man. So did you re-up therapy after your dad contacted you on
I did it.
Instagram?
No.
Because last time you were saying that you're winding down with your therapy.
Yeah, I'm still wound down. I haven't found a new therapist yet, and I'm actually coping great. I mean, the one thing that I can say is, like, for, like, anxiety people, like, if you're just sitting in it and letting yourself feel it, that's a victory. Like, because with anxiety, I feel like I have to do something about everything. So
you're like running from it.
Yeah. Instead of just feeling it. So I'm just feeling the feelings and I'm crying when I need to cry. I mean, I cried on TikTok a bunch and my Instagram stories. I'm laughing when I need to laugh. I'm, you know, like I literally made this TikTok. There was this, I don't know if you were, are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I dabble.
There was, for a while, there was this audio, and it was somewhat during the pandemic where it was like, I'm at the Pizza Hut, I'm at the Taco Bell, I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. And people were like doing, my mom is French, my dad is German, my mom has freckles, my dad doesn't, I have freckles. And like, so I did it, but under all the dad stuff, I just put question marks. At the end, everybody would put like, what do you get? And it would be like a dancer with freckles who's part German and part French. Right. But for mine, I put like a girl with anxiety and daddy issues, something like that. Well, after he finds me on Instagram, he comments just the hand emoji, the up hand emoji under that fucking reel.
Like, sorry?
Yeah, it was more like, yeah, that's me. I made a TikTok about it because it was like he was going, oh, yeah, that was me. Sorry about that. That's me. I'd be your dad. That'd be me over here. Yeah, so I'm just processing it.
Yeah, there's a lot. I can't wait to hear it on your next special.
Oh, it'll be on there, hopefully.
It'll take, yeah, a couple tries to get that material down, for sure. Thanks you so much for being on. All right,
thank
we
got
to get to a show.
Me.
We're both
yeah,
on,
we have a
so
show to
nice.
Go to.
Yeah. So, is there can people find you? You know, where you want
to
get your TikTok numbers up?
WizardofJaws.com. It's like Wizard of Oz, but with a J. And you can follow me on TikTok to get more unhinged trauma dumping on the regular.
Right. And I let the guests sign us off however they see fit, but I will say, we'll kind of forever be excellent to each other.
And. This was too much pressure. My brain literally blanked out. Okay, wait. Do it again. I could do it. What do
Thank
I say?
Thank you for being.
Okay, I'm just going to say, keep your butthole secrets.
Yeah, that's good. Where they belong.